Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Blair Walsh from 27 yards left hash.
The season's on the line. Two receivers left and right.
Now he fires over the middle.
Snap good. Spot down. Walsh's kick is up.
McCown takes the snap. He steps up.
Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now.
And it is no good. He missed it. Are you kidding me?
He's all by himself. Fires into the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
It was intercepted by Tracy Porter, near side to the 40, and John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
No!
The season can't end like that! He missed it left!
No!
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
No!
And the Seattle Seahawks are off to Charlotte.
Why do you even ponder passing?
Blair Walsh missed a 27-yard field goal.
I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal.
No!
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs. No!
Wow, when you play them all at once like that, it's just... it's so much. Joe... firing the salvo across state lines.
Sorry to Vikings fans who do listen to this show on a daily basis, but it is kind of funny.
Someone tweeted the other day, name the most iconic duos in football, and someone tweeted back, dust in the Vikings trophy case. Wow! Just hatred!
Well, what have they won?
That's accurate.
They've been to some Super Bowls, but what have they won?
It is accurate. Along with Radio Joe, I'm Kevin Holden, CBS 58. Bill Michaels out for the day, taking care of a little business before the Packers-Vikings game on Sunday. The Vikings are a good football team. I think Kirk Cousins is a good addition. I think the defense is formidable and a force to be reckoned with. I think, you know, in all seriousness, it's a tough test for the Packers. But, man, you start to realize when you play all those back-to-back, that's kind of a heartbreak right there.
Well, this is setting up for maybe another situation like that. The Vikings are a Super Bowl contending team this season.
There's
absolutely no question about it. They are that good. And, you know, we will see the Kirk Cousins experiment this week, because the passing game, I think, should be even better with Cousins at quarterback.
Yeah.
I do. So I don't think Kirk Cousins is a top five quarterback. I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback in the league. But I think he will make Thielen and Diggs better. Even better receivers. And look, the Packers secondary will be tested this week.
Yeah.
Unlike they were last week. This is a good group of receivers, and we're gonna find out here. Josh Jackson, Kevin King, Jair Alexander. Will some of these guys actually be true playmakers here? You know, I'd like to see a couple of turnovers from this defense.
Right.
That is gonna be one of the keys of this game. Can this defense force turnovers? Because that will change things drastically, and you get Aaron Rodgers back on the field, and hopefully you're able to do some pretty big things. But I'd like to see some playmaking ability this week from your secondary.
You will, I think, help to build confidence, help to start the careers of some of these young guys in the secondary if you can get picks in this game. Because to pick off, I'm just going to throw a name, to pick off Joe Flacco is one thing. To pick off Kirk Cousins and the Vikings and the situation they're in with Diggs and Thielen and the offense that they have and the importance that this defense will play in this game, that will boost the confidence of a Jaire Alexander or Josh Jackson, these young guys in the secondary. So
take it for what it's worth. Josh Jackson was one of the highest graded corners in the preseason, according to Pro Football Focus.
Man, that's sharp. And by the way, you remember this. A lot of people thought Jackson was worthy of the Packers' first-round pick.
Right.
And he was their second-round pick.
I can't believe that man fell into the second round.
How does that happen? I mean, I understand all the world doesn't have the same needs as the Packers, but somebody had to have the need in the secondary that would go out and pick in the first, say, 10 picks of the second round or whatever to go take. When he was their second round, I think I might have actually made noise. And I'm not the kind of guy that like makes noise watching the draft. I think people get way too deep into... example, we had a guy in our newsroom the year that Manziel was drafted that was like running around the newsroom celebrating when Manziel fell to the Packers pick. He thought it was a slam dunk that the Packers would take Johnny Manziel and Manziel would be the next guy in the Packers lineage at quarterback. We get a little excited.
That was also like 3 or 4 years ago now.
Right.
You're not going to find Aaron Rodgers' successor that early.
No. No. It's way too soon.
Doesn't make any sense.
He's like 30, 31. Yeah, it's no. But anyway, that you know what I'm saying. You can talk yourself into things on draft day.
Sure.
But in that case, when Jackson went all the way first to second round, I was like, well, you have to take him now. And they did. So there you go. So let's switch a little gear if we can here, Joe. We were talking some Packers, but we've got this Brewers topic. We were talking to Tim Allen. I want to jump back into that if we can here. The Brewers right now starting a series tonight against the Pittsburgh Pirates, starting the 6-game homestand. The Brewers have 15 games left in their season. 3 of them are against a team with a winning record. 3. They play 12 games against teams with losing records. And if you've seen Detroit's record, the team the Packers play, the Brewers play in the last week of that regular season, if you've seen Detroit's season, they're going to be begging for that season to end by the time they get to Miller Park on September 28th. They are going to be just like, please end this. So that could turn out to be a key series because it's Cardinals, Cubs, and it's Brewers, Tigers. And I mean, the announcers got in a fight, Joe. That's what kind of year it's been in Detroit.
So I heard over a chair.
Yeah.
They got into fisticuffs over a chair.
Over a chair in the press box.
The TV broadcasters for the Tigers.
Yes. Mario Impemba and Rod Allen. When you're done listening to the show, don't do it now, but when you're done listening to the show, go Google Mario Impemba, Rod Allen, and just marvel.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's... It's been that kind of year. That's how I read it.
The season can't end like that!
Well, it did for them. They are suspended for the rest of the year because of their fight over a chair. That is what... there it is. That's your representation of what this season is for the team that the Brewers finished the season with. So, 15 games. Pretty easy schedule. Never know in baseball. It's not an automatic, but you like at least the way the schedule shapes up. They are a game and a half behind the Cubs. They are... Oh, Joe, my phone isn't on the page. 3.5 on the Dodgers?
Four.
4 on the Dodgers.
Wait, you know...
Sorry, I'm completely unprepared for that one.
Yeah, that's okay.
It is 4.
Same.
4 on the Dodgers. Because they didn't play, and the Dodgers won.
3 on the Cardinals.
3 on the Cardinals, 4 on the Dodgers. And the important thing is there are 2 wild card spots. So when I say a 4-game lead, 4 games separate the Brewers and being out of the wild card hunt. And that's with 15 to play. Again, math. 4 with 15 to play is pretty incredible. The Brewers' magic number goes down with every one of their wins or every one of LA's losses. And the other teams that were so tight with them have started to drop off a bit. Arizona, 7 games behind the Brewers. Philadelphia, 9 games behind the Brewers. Again, 15 to play. So it's almost to the point where you're looking at LA, and when LA drops off, you're looking at the postseason. It's that close. So you can look at this Brewers season one of 2 ways. And let's get your thoughts on this at 855-830-8648. You use the words controlling your own destiny usually when you're a team that's, say, ahead by a game in a playoff race. At the Packers, with 2 games to go, they're ahead by a game. You can say they control their own destiny because if they win out, nothing can stop them from making the playoffs. In baseball, it's a little bit different because of the number of games and that sort of thing. The Brewers are not a first place team, but do you think they're in control of their own destiny, being up by four in the wild card? If you're looking at it through the eyes of behind the Cubs, then no. You have to win and the Cubs have to lose some to get you into that postseason. If you're looking at it in the wild card sense, do you think they control their own destiny? 855-830-8648. My thought on it is, yeah, they do. And because there's only an extreme case where the Brewers don't make the postseason if you're talking about controlling your own destiny. Here's what I mean by that. Let's say that they are a 7-8 team in the last 15 games. So a disappointing end to the season, I would think, right? You wouldn't, 7-8, it's like, okay. The Dodgers then, in their remaining 15 games, have to go 11-4 to force a tie, which is pretty incredible in baseball terms. Not unheard of, but it's pretty incredible. If the Brewers are anything over 500, then the Dodgers have to be 12-3 or better to force a playoff, not to get in over the Brewers, to force a playoff.
Right.
That's pretty close to being in control of your own destiny, I think. If you're thinking wild card, Cubs, no. You again, you're behind a game and a half. You need to win and you need a little bit of help. But the other way, I feel like they are in control of their own destiny right now with 15 to play.
I would completely agree. And your final five series of the year are pretty easy. I mean, St. Louis will be tough. Even if you lose two out of three in that series, that's not the end of the world because you're only giving up one game to the Cardinals. Getting swept by the Cardinals is a big problem. But you've been able to do this now since the end of August. You have taken care of teams that you're supposed to beat. It's the biggest question going in. A lot of people jumping off the bandwagon way too early in the middle of August with this Brewers team, expecting this second half collapse because they're notorious for that. Well, guess what? This Brewers team is not the same Brewers team from 2014. Completely different. And when you look at that schedule in September and you think to yourself, man, it doesn't get any easier for the Brewers, not to mention all the off days you have in your schedule, They can surely get this done. Why wouldn't they? And you just added more upgrades to your roster with Gio Gonzalez, Curtis Granderson, Cedeno. I mean, you're lock and loaded for the postseason. There's no excuses now. This team needs to make the postseason, and you've won seven straight series, beating the Cubs twice, of course, and then five other lesser teams that you've gone up against. Now, granted, you play the Jobermetrics game, Kevin Holden.
Talk to me.
There were a couple of games in the series where they gave up a game, like to the Reds or to the Nationals, that they should have won. I mean, you could have talked about not just sweeping the Giants, but you could have swept the Nationals, according to the Jobermetrics should have won, should have lost tracker. And same thing with the Cincinnati Reds. Like, they actually gave away games in this stretch where they won seven straight series. That's what's so crazy about this.
Games stolen and games given away.
Right. So I just look at this right now, and the Cubs are flying all over the place because they really don't have an off day. The Cubs, you got to wonder, do they still have enough fuel in them to get to the postseason? With all the traveling, all the makeup days, they're going to have a nice advantage here playing the majority of their games from here on out in Chicago. But I just think where the Brewers sit right now, if you just keep taking series, taking two out of three, this isn't just about making the wild card. They should win this division. And they could very well be, like Tim Allen said in the last hour, the best team in the National League. They have enough to get this done. And I I'm very proud of these guys. I had some doubts about the division throughout this stretch. But the one thing that I've always stuck to is this team should be able to get to the postseason. There's no excuses now.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Math screaming louder than the opinions of those who think that there's some sort of collapse on the way. Kevin on LaCrosse, hang tight. We're going to get to you on the other side of the break as we are talking Brewers. Are they in control of their own destiny, even though they're a second-place team in the Central? 855-830-8648. More of the Bill Michaels Show in a moment.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Luigi's. Hey, everybody, it's a Pizza Friday, and thanks to our friends over at Luigi's Frozen Pizza. Luigi's, by the way, different than most frozen pizzas out there. Just went to a Metro Market the other day and picked up the Big Daddy, picked up a Meat Lovers, picked up a cheese. Oh, they're so good. They're handmade right here in Belgium, Wisconsin. Delicious, fresh ingredients, and as I had mentioned, 100% real cheese from Wisconsin. My personal favorite, like I mentioned, also the Big Daddy, packed with several varieties of tasty meat, including that Italian sausage, so good. Sherry and the kids, every time I say, let's get a pizza, if we're not going to order something out, we're going down to the store. We're picking up a Luigi's. We love Luigi's. You will, too. For over 40 years, it's Luigi's. The frozen pizza, it tastes fresh, guaranteed, available at quality grocery stores and taverns all throughout the state of Wisconsin.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Tune in just for the intro music, to be honest with you. This is great, Joe.
This is all Bill.
Yeah?
Bill had all this bumper music.
Oh, yeah? It's great. I mean, it really is. Even right down to your intro to each hour when you begin the show.
With the Limelight?
Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Rush.
You know, I'm convinced. I have a theory. I might be wrong. But I cover the Badger games, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm at Camp Randall. Whoever's playing the music over the loudspeaker to fire up fans, I'm convinced that person listens to our show.
It's because they use a lot of the same songs?
The same songs.
Really?
I could be wrong. But, I mean, there are some really obscure songs that we play as bumper music on this show that he plays. Or she, maybe it's a she, I don't know.
We should dig into that.
Could be listening right now, but I swear... I feel like that's what I hear every week I'm at a Badger game.
Yeah, that it's intro music to the Bill Michaels Show, which, by the way, Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee, just in for the day. Bill, of course, is set and ready for Packers-Vikings on Sunday, and we're set to get your calls right now at 855-830-8648. Brewers, a second-place team, but are they in control of their own destiny? Kevin in La Crosse. Thanks for your patience, Kevin. Welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Sure.
Enjoy the show very much.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed, the Brewers control their own destiny. I actually have the Brewers winning the division with the Cubs playing the Colorado Rockies in the wild card.
Interesting.
And winning, yeah, and winning and coming to Milwaukee. You know, the thing is, if Milwaukee wins the wild card, they go to Chicago. Chicago wins the wild card, they go to Milwaukee. So, you know, it's a... pretty much destined there to be a Cub-Brewer matchup either way.
The rivalry continues.
Yeah, it definitely does. Yes. But I just think Los Angeles on paper, you know, would be the favorite to go to the wild card. But, Colorado's awful hot, and the Dodgers seem to be finding ways to lose games. So if the Brewers can avoid... a collapse like that five-game stint in Pittsburgh, we're good to go, I think. And I like their formula, winning 2 out of 3, if not sweeping. And it should be very interesting. And I'd also like to know, I'll probably Google this, but the attendance is so fantastic for a small market team. It's just great to see all the Brewer fans out and about. So.
It's been the case, too, for a while. They've had some 3 million years and some years close to 3 million. And you're talking about the smallest market in the game drawing in the top 10. I mean, that's about as good as you can hope for right there.
Yes, it is phenomenal. But, that's my input on the Brewers' destiny. Go Brewers all the way, and I'll hang up now and listen to what you guys have to say. So thank you.
Kevin, thank you. Appreciate the call. That Dodgers team is honestly a little bit of a surprise that they're not farther along, and I know some of it has to do with injuries and some of it has to do with inconsistency on the part of a couple of guys that they thought would be there for a whole year. I mean, I think Yasiel Puig has not gone so well for them this year. He's been getting boos out in L.A. Kershaw's been on the shelf a bit. But that's a team. If there's a team that's going to make it interesting, if there's a team that's capable of 11-4, 12-3 in the last 15 games to creep up there, it'd probably be the Dodgers. And the Cardinals are where they are, one, because they are a good team, but two, because they were so hot in that stretch after the All-Star break. In July and August, they couldn't lose a game.
You think about what the Cubs have in store for them. Their final five series include the Reds at home, at Arizona, which will be tough for them,
yep,
at Chicago White Sox. So that's kind of like home field advantage for them, because I would assume a lot of Cubs fans are going there. Then they have the Pirates for four, and then they finish the season against St. Louis at home.
Yeah.
Compared to the Brewers finishing the season against Detroit.
Yeah. So let's say that last 3 days means something, right? Let's say it's a tie. Let's say it's September 28th and there's a tie atop the Central. Cardinals play the Cubs for three. Brewers play the Tigers for three. Now, again, baseball is one of those that you never know, but I would take the Brewers' schedule over the Cubs for sure.
And keep in mind, the Cubs only have one off day in this stretch here.
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah, they had a lot of rainouts early in the year, and that has set in motion, for anyone who's followed the standings throughout the year, the Brewers have played at some points, I think, four or five more games than the Cubs. So the Cubs, basically the Brewers played more games earlier in the year. Having the roof at Miller Park helps with that. The Cubs are playing more games later in the year because of the rainouts and the makeups and all that stuff. That is not easy. This time of year, a one-day trip to Washington and back will wear you out. I mean, they'll tell you they're playing on adrenaline, and it's right, but it just wears the body out. 150 games into a season. Dan in Minocqua, welcome to the show.
Hey, fellas, happy Friday.
You too.
Same.
Yeah, looking forward to the weekend. Should be a good weekend for Wisconsin sports, no doubt. Yeah. So as far as Brewers go, I have complete confidence that they're going to win the division. I really do. I think taking those two series against the Cubs is, you know, a confident feather in their caps over the past week and a half doing that and seeing the Cubs kind of reeling right now. And just as far as playoff baseball goes, this team is built so well for that. With the strong bullpen, I mean, when you watch baseball in the playoffs, it's like watching almost an entirely different game as far as game plans go. And having Hader and Jeffress and Corbin Burns and all those guys in the bullpen, I think is going to be huge, especially since the starters typically haven't been going very deep in games already. So I don't think it's going to be much different for them, for the Brewers going into the postseason. When they do go, they're going in. I'm very confident of that. I love this team a lot. I love the way it's built, and I'm really looking forward to October baseball in Milwaukee. I'll be down there for that last Friday game against the Tigers, and really excited to cheer them on. So,
awesome.
Go through, go Packers, all that stuff, and I'm excited to through the rest of December.
Dan, appreciate the call, and yeah, man, that maybe that Friday when you get here might be a significant day. It might be a clinch day for something. That'd be great if it was.
You know, he mentioned the bullpen. They are pitching right now at the highest level that they've been since the first half of the season. And it is very encouraging to see a lot of your guys, including Corey Knebel, bring it again. What I'll be curious to know is you have to have a 25-man roster going into the postseason. You can't roll with this expanded roster, which means who is going to make the cut in that bullpen. And I think it's going to be a big couple of weeks for some of these guys. I mean, obviously, we know that Knebel's in, Hader is.
Yeah.
I don't even need to say it.
Yeah.
He's in. Jeffress is in. Soria, I mean, he struggled a little bit, but he's going to be in. Cedeno, I guess, would be pitching. Corbin Burns. But a lot of these guys, I mean, the bullpen right now has been very, very good. And it's Council managed that game so well the other night against the Cubs. He wasn't going to mess around. He knew Chase Anderson wasn't really lighten it up as a pitcher. A lot of hard hit balls, and he just felt with the top of the order coming up, he was going to change it. And I think you're going to see that a lot. Assuming the Brewers get into the NLDS, you're going to see Council manage that way a lot, I think, because he's got enough arms in there to fill innings, get the outs, and continue to put pressure on the other team.
You know what we should do? We should look at the 2015 Royals. We should dial up the old Google machine.
Okay.
And look at the 2015 Royals, because the more I watch this team, the deeper they get, the more they remind me of the 2015 Royals. Now, I'll say this right off the bat, because I know what's about to happen. Some people are going to go, well, The 2015 Royals were the result of several years of producing guys through the farm system, the Hosmers and the Moustakas and the Salvi Perezes. And yes, the Brewers portion of that, the David Stearns portion of that, hasn't come to fruition that much yet. There are not a lot of David Stearns deep minor league prospects who have come up and made an impact. There are a few, but the ones they have are usually, or right now, most of them have been acquired from other teams. Hader was a trade acquisition. I get that. So take that part out of it. But look at the makeup of the team. The first thing to look at is the bullpen. That's where this similarity comes in. They changed the philosophy of major league teams by winning a World Series with these three guys in the bullpen, 7th, 8th, and 9th, who all three of them were insanely valuable. Insanely valuable. And it was, do I have it right? It was Kelvin Herrera, Wade Davis, and I've blanked on the third name now.
Would it have been Madsen? Who was the third guy? This is the list I've got.
Okay.
I have Johnny Cueto, obviously starter.
Yeah.
Wade Davis, Danny Duffy, Kelvin Herrera.
Yeah.
Luke Hochver, Ryan Madsen, Chris Medlin, Franklin Morales, Yordano Ventura, Edinson Volquez, Chris Young.
Huh.
That's what I have for 2015.
Maybe I'm thinking 14 then. But anyway, the point is these Royals teams that made back-to-back World Series, and I feel bad, I don't have a computer directly in front of me right now. This is how they did it. They did
Greg Holland?
Greg Holland was the other guy. Good call.
Thank you, Sam.
Sam, thank goodness for Sam. We're out here just, you know, whatever, and Sam's on top of it.
He's being a good producer.
Yes, he is. So that team would pitch. They had closers in the 7th, 8th, and 9th. Does that sound familiar? You at 6-inning game, closer, 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 game over. That's one way they did it. The other way they did it is they found these bats that some were developed and some were brought in to help them out. And two of those were Lorenzo Cain and Mike Moustakas. Like the Royals, the 2015 Royals comparison it's real.
Yeah, here's some of the other guys on that team. Your catchers were Drew Butera and, of course, Sal Perez. Infielders, Christian Colon, Alcides Escobar, Eric Hosmer, Raul Mondesi, Kendrys Morales, Mike Moustakas, Ben Zobrist.
Yep.
That's right. I forgot about Zobrist.
Right.
Outfielders, Lorenzo Cain, Jared Dyson, Alex Gordon, Paulo Orlando, and Alex Rios.
So those first three guys were really your top guys. And you can see where they brought the people in to put them over the top. Johnny Cueto and Ben Zobrist.
Right.
Pitcher and hitter. That's what got them, took them in that next step over when they won the World Series. Those were acquisitions.
But really, when you look at the names on that roster, it's not like this team is full of these ridiculous all-stars and there's aces. And I mean, that's a steady team right there.
Yep.
And if you just threw that roster out and said, do you think this is a World Series team? You'd probably say no. Say, yeah, this is a pretty good team, but I don't think they're a World Series team based on what's on paper.
Right. The other thing that they don't have there is people making $1 trillion because Kansas City, like Milwaukee, is a small market. It was
correct.
The great example of a small market building something to win a title. And I'm, you know, David Stearns got his philosophy and his start with the Astros with that rebuild, which is impressive in and of its own right. It's incredible. Stearns has done it faster in Milwaukee, and I think part of that is that there's a little touch of the Kansas City formula there. I think there is. I think that has played into how David Stearns wants to build this team. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up. Mike McCarthy, Packers head coach, was addressing the media. We will talk some Packers next on the show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Talking Brewers and talking Packers on the Bill Michaels Show. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee. I've been kind enough to let me fill in here for Bill from time to time, including today. Bill will be all set to join you Sunday for Packers-Vikings. Week 2 of the season, Aaron Rodgers. Will he play? Will he not play? Everybody's looking for a context clue, a word, a gesture, body language. This is what we do, right? When you don't have an answer, and today is the day you get your injury designations, questionable, doubtful, whatever, still, you're looking for context in the few words you get from the coach and from the quarterback about his ability to play. I still feel confident he's going to play, but it's nothing more than a gut feeling. So let's all listen into the subtlety as Mike McCarthy addressed the media today and see if we can pick out any context. Mike McCarthy in Green Bay this morning.
This segment of the Bill Michaels Show is brought to you by Concordia Veterans Services Department, dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. See them at cuw.edu/veterans. Now, let's hear from the coach.
Packers coach Mike McCarthy addressing the media 2 days out now, less than 48 hours from Packers versus Vikings at Lambeau Field. And Joe, here's the thing. It is a day-to-day injury. It's something where every day it's a different status report. Is it any better? Yes, it was a little better in Aaron Rodgers' knee. A little better Monday than Sunday. A little better Tuesday. A little better Wednesday. I thought, and you may disagree with me on this, I thought he was as transparent as he could be, given that he doesn't know. That literally, when he said, I can't answer the question, it's not that he's withholding information. It's that he has an answer now, but the answer might change tomorrow, and it might change again Sunday.
Well, he's got to know what's wrong with his knee specifically. They have to know what's wrong with the knee because he was just asked. We talked about this earlier in the show. Is this going to be a long-term issue? I mean, are you prepared for that? And I don't know what he said there.
He didn't completely brush it off, but he kind of brushed it off a little, right?
He danced around it a little bit.
Just a little.
But see, that's the thing. He doesn't want to give anything away on this Rodgers thing.
Yeah.
But I think it is a concern, a legitimate concern, if he has to deal with this all season long. Because doesn't it turn you into a one-dimensional offense if all you're going to do is dink and dunk and you're going to have to get the ball off as much as possible unless you get great protection from your offensive line each and every game, and David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga are healthy each and every game? I don't know.
The offensive linemen were like, we have to hold our blocks longer, period.
Right. Or that's why you have to bring in a tight end to block.
Yeah.
Robert Tonyan, Mercedes Lewis, one of you guys are going to have to go in there and block. Someone is going to have to help these guys out on the offensive line. Otherwise, it's going to be a rough year. I don't know. I have concerns about this. I want to know specifically what's wrong with the knee. Because if it's a short-term thing, then all is good. But if not, if he needs surgery, could be a longer season.
One more note, Joe, before the break, real quick. I want to, hopefully this doesn't make me the bad guy, but I want to go back to something from last year that I think we learned a lesson from. What was the number one thing you picked up from Rodgers being hurt and all the other things that happened in the months after? Not just the losses, but the personnel and the changes and everything else. What did you learn? What did we learn as a state, you think, most from that?
At the Packers need Aaron Rodgers?
Well, yeah, that's... I suppose that's...
they need Aaron Rodgers.
I suppose that's the correct answer to the question. Where I'm going is this. What we learned was that Rodgers did so many great things that he would mask problems. Mm-hmm. And when he was gone, those problems were exposed. What I don't want to have happen is for us to fall back into the same trap, and it's easy to do, because the entire week has been this incredible comeback from Aaron Rodgers, and it's due of the highest praise, right? One of the most incredible comebacks you'll see. Who has called your show this week to talk about Clay Matthews? Have you had any? Probably, maybe a little.
Oh, we did a whole topic on Clay on Tuesday.
Okay. So you touched on it. That makes me feel better.
And he's another problem for me.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the first time you heard his name is when he gave the Bears a fresh set of downs where a field goal wins the game.
He's too slow off the edge.
Matthews, Kyle Fuller, who could have ended it with an interception. Here's where I'm going with this. Elation over that win is fine. Elation over Rodgers is fine. But what we learned from last year is you have to pay attention to the other parts of the game, the parts that got exposed when Rodgers was out. And there are still those issues to be fixed. And those aren't Aaron Rodgers. Those are other things. So I hope we don't lose sight of that. Again, I don't want to be the bad guy, but I don't want 2018 to be 2015, if you know what I'm saying. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Hey, picture this. You and a friend sitting VIP plush leather recliners at the 50-yard line of Lambeau Field watching the pack. That's right. And who's going to put you there? Cousin Subs for the best seats in the house promotion. You and a friend could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style each week. A couple of lucky Packers fans, they're going to be chosen prior to each home game for the VIP experience. So you can enter daily through December 16th by completing the entry form by going to Packers.com/best seats. That's Packers.com/best seats, brought to you by Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Kevin Holden in for Bill Michaels here on the Bill Michaels Show. I can't believe we've gotten through the first part of the show as fast as we have, Joe. This is crazy. What happens when you have a lot to talk about?
Too much to talk about.
You ever have a knee issue?
No.
Not like that. I never have like that either.
Knock on wood.
Because I'd be curious, you know, if someone had a knee issue like that, how does it affect you? Like, is it as they say, where it's basically reassess on a daily basis? I'd be curious about that. And we're going to take a break, and then Paul Immig, our green and gold analyst, will find out if he's had knee problems. It's coming up on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.